You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
So I don't know if this has ever, I think it's probably happened to you. Have you ever been like going around the house going like, where are my keys? I can't find my keys. Where are they? And they happen to be right in your hand. Have you ever done that? The answer is right in front of you, and my wife can attest to the man eyes I have. I open the fridge and say, honey, where is the? And it's right in front of me, but I don't see it. Okay? The answer is right in front of me, and I don't see it. Or maybe, I don't know if you've done this, I heard this, I don't know if it was on America's Funniest Videos, I think it was. But the joke is, or kind of the riddle is, so Cheryl's mom had four daughters. The first was named April, the second May, and the third June. What was the name of the fourth daughter?
Cheryl.
Because the answer is right in the question. But a lot of people, wait a minute, August? No, June, July? No, you know, it's amazing how we make it complicated when the answer is right in front of us. And I have a feeling that's the same with the words of Jesus. Okay? As Christians, we are notorious for missing the point. And this is the case even from the beginning. You know, Israel had the promises of God, and yet they missed the Messiah. And Peter was with Jesus for 3 years, and he missed the whole purpose of the kingdom. You know, it's just amazing how that works. And the Galatian Christians, they had the grace of God. They heard the gospel and were saved by the Spirit through the gospel of God, and yet they missed the understanding of grace in their lives. They had no idea. They missed the mark. And I think today, many of the followers of Jesus, we're facing the same struggle. We have the opportunity right before us. We hear the words. We know what it says, but somehow it just doesn't happen. We miss the whole thing. Jesus says simply, come follow me. And I have to look at myself and go like, how well am I following him? Or am I just kind of having him trying to tag along with me wherever I go? When you think of the words about Jesus, he calls us to come follow him. And the words about who Jesus is, kind of like imitate him, follow him, be like him, apprentice from him, be his disciple. And I think of Jesus himself, the first words that come to your mind when you think of Jesus are, any of you?
Love.
Anything else? Peace. Joy. Kindness. Compassion. Courage. Humility. What? Oh, the fruits of the Spirit. Actually, the Galatians chapter 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are all attributes or characteristics of Jesus himself in his life. And when we are living in the Spirit, that is what God wants to bring about in our lives too, right? But when you think of Christians, not Jesus, but Christians, and you ask Christians about other Christians, you're going to kind of get a mixed bag of things, right? Some good, some, oh my goodness, this person's so exact. And others, well, you know, they're a little cranky. But the real test comes when you ask people outside of Christianity. People who are not right now followers of Jesus about the followers of Jesus. And what you hear. So I've told this before, but I think it's worth repeating. About 6 years ago, David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons, they spent 3 years as they were researching the younger generation, specifically people who had either been to church or not to church, or just younger people in general, and what they thought about Christianity. Million people. You know, they just surveyed everybody they could in the younger generations. You know what they said? They said, well, Jesus followers are judgmental, hypocritical, anti-homosexual, too political, old-fashioned, out of touch, insensitive, and boring. The title of their book was called Unchristian, and that wasn't for the people outside of the faith, but that's what the people outside of Christianity looked at Christians and said, they're being unchristian. Isn't that amazing? And now you might say, wait a minute, look at all the good we have done. I can't believe these are gross exaggerations of the issues. I mean, we feed the poor, we visit people in prison, we try to help out anybody in need. Who has taken the banner and really worked in hurricane relief from Irma to Harvey to Michael? It's been the Christian churches, not the federal government, not other organizations, but the Christian churches who have given. And we saw that in our own area around here when Irma struck. It was the Christians who got out there and did so much. But I cannot assume it's just bad press. And I cannot also just say it's a media bias that Christians are treated or looked at like this. The reality is when David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons contacted all these people and said, where do you get this idea that Christians are like this from? 50% of them said it's because they had met a Christian who was judgmental, etc. And how he said in the book, many of those outside of Christianity reject Jesus because they feel rejected by Christians. Ouch. Jesus says, follow me. How are we following? Of course we are broken sinners. Of course we need help. Of course we're not going to do it perfectly right. But somehow I think it goes beyond that. If Jesus is known for grace, that is, giving to people what they don't deserve, and caring about them and loving them and despite the fact that they've messed up, and Christians are known for judgment, which is basically wanting to give people what they deserve, we've missed the mark. If Jesus is known for drawing people in from all different backgrounds and nationalities and ethnicities and cultures into one, and Christianity is known for bigotry, even some racist talk, and some separation and division, we have missed the mark. If Jesus is known for good works and helping, and we are known for our hypocrisy, we've missed the mark. If Jesus is known for his compassion and we for our indifference, we're missing the mark. Now, the red letter challenge that we're going to get into was birthed out of the idea that if we actually show who Jesus is, if we actually put into practice who Jesus is in our lives, if people get to see the real Jesus in real life, they're not going to be repelled by him. They're going to be attracted to him just as you were. We could build wonderfully amazing things and do so many things, but somehow we're missing it. Okay? I want other people to know what Jesus has done for me because of what he has done for me. Isn't that amazing? And so I want to get that message out, not myself and my attitudes and my negativity, but Jesus Christ across. And that's what we're trying to do. Now, your question, now, how do we do that? How are we going to go about that? Because the Christian church has tried a lot of methods and a lot of marketing and a lot of things over the years. Now, and even some of the most successful churches, according to kind of American success story standards, are starting to realize they've kind of missed the mark. I remember being at Willow Creek Community Church in Barrington, Illinois, about 10, 12 years ago, when one of the pastors got up and explained, you know what, we've done a survey of the 10, 20,000 members of our church, and we have found that we know how to attract a crowd, but we don't know how to make disciples. We can bring them in through a wonderful therapeutic feel-good service, and we can make them feel good about themselves, but we can't get them to be good. We can get them to understand the basics, but they still come in, and we get a crowd, and we end up with a large group of fairly self-absorbed consumers who are getting about an hour to an hour and a half fix every Sunday morning so they feel good about themselves and their children get what they want as well. And they walk away. What happens when you're climbing a ladder of success in churchy terms, you know? All of a sudden, the crowds are there, and people are noticing and going like, hey, that's a fun place to hang out because look at all the success they've got. Wow. And all of those things are going on. What if you're climbing that ladder, and then all of a sudden, your other friends who are pastors are starting to get envious of you because of what you're able to. Wow, look at that. And the buildings are being built, and all these things are happening, and you get the media attention, and the Christian book publishers ask you to write a book because you must be doing something right. And you get to the top of that ladder, only realize it's leaning against the wrong wall. And you've built a little kingdom, but it's not necessarily the kingdom of God. If the targets we're hitting are right now that we are seen as being judgmental, divisive, hypocritical, bigoted, racist, out of touch, old-fashioned, boring, maybe we need a different plan. What if the answer, like, where are my keys, is right before me? What if it's been in front of us all the time and somehow we've missed the mark because we haven't seen the obvious? And that's what Red Letter Challenge is really saying. It's saying in the end, the words of Jesus. Huh, he had some pretty good things to say. Maybe we should live them out. You know, so many people have analyzed and studied his words. Some people read them and memorize him. And others actually, you know, dissect them and take them apart and say maybe they're not even his words. But so few people actually take his words and put it into practice. And I've said this before, it's kind of like studying about swimming. You know, you've got the book on swimming. You watch video on swimming. You learn all the world records on swimming and how the people did it and how wonderful they did it through history. You know all the terminology of swimming. You know the different strokes. You know how to do this, how to do that. You could probably coach somebody else to swim, but you haven't even gotten into the water. That's what we've done in the Christian church time and again. It's kind of funny, right? Oh, we got people going to Bible study. We got people memorizing scripture. We've got people doing all sorts of things with the Bible. We've got all sorts of fellowship with the Bible. We talk about it all the time, but are we putting it into practice? Now, you might think, well, that's the big idea. It's not original. No, it isn't. It didn't start with Zach Zender, who wrote this book, the Red Letter Challenge, and it didn't start with anybody in the last couple, until it started with Jesus, and he said it. It's interesting, at the end of one of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, you may have heard of it, it starts out with these wonderful beatitudes. It can be confusing, it's very paradoxical. He's got a lot of Hebraisms in it. He's got a lot of hyperbole in it. He's got a lot of things that are paradoxical in it. But at the end of the sermon, he says this, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great fall. So at the end of the sermon, he's got something very concrete and very simple and straightforward. And notice the difference between the two people. It's not that what they heard. It's not what they memorized. It's not what they remembered. It's not what they studied. It is what they did or didn't do. It's kind of like the three little pigs kind of story, right? You want your house to stand, you better build it solid, Jesus says. And to build it solid is to hear my words and put them into practice. It's not the only place he said it. He said it in Luke chapter 11. He said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it, hold on to it, cherish it. And some translations will say, obey it, that you hear it and put it into practice. And James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, put it very succinctly and very plainly in his little letter in James chapter 1, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So that's the big idea. We're going to start taking Jesus' words over the next 40 days, starting Tuesday. Getting very practical. You don't have to start today. You don't have to start tomorrow. You could start Tuesday in that book, okay? You got a couple days to gear up to it. And we're going to take those and put them into practice, unoriginal but revolutionary. We have a great opportunity. And here's the thing, is following Jesus is not a burden. It is the greatest joy, and it is the greatest privilege and opportunity you have your whole life. I don't care what you do for a living. This is living, following Jesus. I don't care what you're able to think about. This is what life is all about. Following Jesus, putting his words into practice, trusting in him. And over these 40 days, we're going to be trying to do that. We're going to be doing that. Now, if you would comb through all the red letters in your Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there's one other saying in the book of Acts that's thrown in. It is better to give than to receive. That isn't in the Gospels, but is attributed to Jesus himself. But if you'd comb through them all and kind of start saying, okay, where do they fit? What similarities do they have? You'd come up with basically five different practices that his words more or less focus upon. And that's what our 5 weeks are going to be. He spent most of his time talking about these five. The first is being. You know, so many times in the scriptures, he will say, you've got to be before you can do. You're a human being. You are in Christ. You are mine. You need to follow me, be with me, commune with me, learn from me. Basically, just be around me. Be a part of the community. Being. Our relationship with him determines how we will live out later. And this is how Jesus put it in some of his red letters. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You need to be in Christ, to be with him, to just be his. The second area, the second practice is forgiving. Jesus is all about grace. Grace, 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 grace. And he speaks about forgiveness and our struggle to receive forgiveness for ourselves, our struggle that we are to forgive others like we have been forgiven. And we work through this time and again, but Jesus says, to really represent me in this world, you're going to be known by how you have received my forgiveness for you and how you share forgiveness with others. In Luke chapter 17, he said, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive. We are to be people of forgiveness, known for the forgiveness that we offer freely. Thirdly, serving. You know, after spending time with Jesus, after receiving his forgiveness, after declaring kind of that amnesty to everyone around us, knowing they need it as much as we do, I am motivated time and again, how can I serve? How can I give? How can I be about? And Jesus says, you're going to just be following how I've served. In Matthew chapter 20, he said this to his disciples who were getting all haughty about themselves. He said, whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first must be your slave, even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The fourth area you're going to find out is giving. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God time and again, and often one-third of everything he talked about is about possessions and treasures and even money. It's all focused on how, and what you study through the scriptures is you realize it's impossible to be a stingy Christian. Generosity is a mark of the followers of Jesus, just like generosity was a mark of his own life. So in Luke, he declares, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And finally, you will see the last behavior, practice, or whatever is going. It is no coincidence that the end of the four Gospels, one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples is to go out, to be sent, to go forth, to not keep it to themselves. And in the book of Acts, you see the whole book is working out that power of the Holy Spirit in their lives to be going out into all the world, starting at Jerusalem and then going to Judea, then to Samaria and to the utter ends of the earth. That's the way Luke describes it. And Jesus says this to his disciples in John chapter 20, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And he gives us his peace. So over the next 40 days, we're going to be embarking on this journey. I'm kind of going to be acting, I guess, like a tour guide. I'm going along with you. And I kind of got to lay out a little of the tour, like where are we going to go next, etc. And this week, actually, in the Red Letter Challenge is really about just kind of setting out, okay, this is where we're going, these five behaviors. You know, we're going to look at being and forgiving, and we're going to look at giving and serving and going. And each one, what does that kind of mean? So this week is kind of the preliminary week, and then next week we'll start looking and focusing each week on one of those five behaviors. Putting God's word into practice. Now, before we leave though today to start doing this together, there's a couple of points I think we need to make. Okay, I want to make sure you're truly prepared for the trip, right? Just like a tour guide says, okay, do you got your camera? Do you got your travel books? Do you have really good shoes that you're wearing? Are you ready to bump up, you know? And you're packed and ready to go. We need to be prepared too. Okay? So there are people who might be looking at this going like, yeah, I'm ready for the challenge. You're the competitive type, you know? There's always a competition for everything in your life, like who got the best grade, who got this, who got the, my haircut looks better than yours, you know, it's anything and everything. It's like, yeah, I'm going to nail this, I'm going to kill it, I'm going to be better than, and I'm going to do it all. Okay? Now there's others of you go like, whoa, wait a minute, trying to do, live by Jesus' words? That's impossible. I don't keep any of my goals. I keep no resolutions. I'm just a poor, miserable sinner. Whether you're the, I can do it, or the, it's impossible, I can't do anything, whether we both need to invite Jesus into this red letter challenge experience. Because those who think, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to nail it, I'm going to do it, I've done it, it's just like anything else in my life. Jesus' words are not like anything else in your life. And like he said before, apart from me, you can do nothing. In John 15, that is so true. And for those who are overconfident in themselves, you might need to know, you better invite Jesus along for the ride. And not for the ride, you go along for the ride and let Jesus lead. You need to be trusting in him. I am only able to do anything through the Christ who strengthens me. Only through him. Okay? And for those of you who say, oh, I can't do it. There's no way. I've already failed before I started. It's impossible to follow these words. Realize this is the red letter challenge, that these words were written in blood red in your Bible. Why? Because they were words of Jesus that he made possible because of his death and pouring out his blood for you on the cross. These are not impossible words. They are words that he has accomplished and he has set down, and he is inviting you along with him. These are not supposed to discourage you or tear you down or break you down in such a way that They are to elicit trust in him, to recognize, okay, Jesus, I'm with you on this. I need you. Now, my second reminder is that you need to invite others into your Red Letter Challenge experience. You're going to be asked to do some things from Jesus' words that, piece of cake, no problem for you. And others that are going to be quite scary, probably, for you. Because they're outside of your comfort zone. And other words that might even seem impossible for you to do. They were never meant to be words to be done alone by you, or you and Jesus alone anyway. He always sent people out two by two, or in community. He himself gathered a community around him. Jesus was not a lone ranger himself. He had a dozen apostles and many more disciples around him as a community, and they lived this out together. Now, when I got back to exercising, probably about 9 or 10 years ago, okay? And that is, once you have children, you might... Do you know how this goes, right? You know, I used to run, I used to do all sorts of things, and then we had children, and then I was sleep-deprived all the time, and I just lived off of coffee and got done with the minimum I could. So I got into the habit, even as they grew, when I could do these things, it's a lot easier to just sit on the couch. And so when I finally did get back to exercising, it wasn't because of my willpower. It wasn't because of my ability. It wasn't because I had a plan. It's because I had a friend. He was a coworker, Dan Prue, and he told me, hey, John, I think we both can use this. Why don't we just, during lunch, instead of eating lunch, just go out for a walk in the neighborhood around the church? And we started doing that. Then we added in, because we were in University of Florida, Gainesville. We were 5 blocks from the stadium, the football stadium. He said, okay, let's add in going up and down the steps at the stadium in the middle of summer. Yeah. And we did that about 4 or 5 times until I was totally exhausted and drenched, had to come back and like, how am I supposed to work the rest of the day? Take a shower, you know, but still we did it. And then it finally went to, we got a gym membership. And we worked at it together. I had a friend coming alongside of me the whole way along to the point when we left Gainesville, came down here, I still got involved in a gym, and today I've got 2 guys in my neighborhood who are still at 7 a.m. working out with me 4 or 5 days a week, because that's the only way I'm going to do it. If Jesus thought it was important to be in community, if Jesus thought it was important for his community to be with each other, if Jesus did that, how much more important for me? And that's why inviting a friend, invite someone in to your Red Letter Challenge and others, it's time to maybe consider just for these 5, 6 weeks to join a home huddle. We've got 6 of them going on right now. We'll add more, but we'd love to have you just join in with this and see what's going on and see what it's like as we together put these words into practice. And let me tell you, none of us are experts at these words. None of us. I might have memorized some, but I've not done them. Do you understand? So welcome to the Red Letter Challenge. When you spend more time with God and abide in him, just being in Christ, you'll understand how much he loves you, that he's your good, good father, and Jesus is the one who has saved you. And you will be forgiving people you thought it was impossible to forgive. And you may serve and sacrifice more than you ever dreamed before. And you may give and become more generous than you ever expected so that you don't even mind doing it. And you'll become more bold and courageous in going out and serving people beyond your comfort zone. There is no greater cause than to live for than to follow Jesus and to be with him. There is nothing I'd rather do, nothing that will change us more than putting his words into practice. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank and praise you this day. You are so good to us. We pray, Lord, that you would be working in our hearts and lives in such a way that your words, Lord Jesus, that you poured out your blood to make true would become true in us and through us, that others might see that we're not just hypocritical and bigoted and indifferent and judgmental, but we are truly loving and joyful and humble and gentle because you are living in us and through us. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this red letter challenge. We invite you into it, and you've invited us into these words in the first place, and we ask that you would just come along with us, that you would lead us and guide us in it. And we ask, Lord, that you would show us how to invite others along the experience as well. So bless us, Lord. Grow us. And may these words ring true, that people, when they see us, they see through us, they see you. All in your name, dear Jesus, we pray. Amen.